This week, our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, focuses on challenges to pay for government programs. And today, we turn to startups. Both President Obama and Mitt Romney point to an entrepreneurial spirit as a way to create new jobs. But should the government give financial incentives to help those startups? Well, WGBH Radio's Kara Miller joins us this morning to examine the issue. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Bob.
So the question is, how do you get entrepreneurship to thrive?
Yeah, that is a key question. And of course, as you said, Republicans and Democrats are somewhat aligned on this issue because they really want to encourage entrepreneurship. And if you, like I do, talk to people who start businesses, people who work with people who start businesses, you'll know that entrepreneurship itself is experiencing a tremendous boom right now and has been for the past several years as young people decide, look, I can do it myself. And I think this is partially driven by internet businesses because so many people have seen that one person, a Steve Jobs, a Mark Zuckerberg, or two people like Larry Page and Sergey Brin of Google could actually launch a business that grew into something sustainable and substantial. But the key is finding the right environment. And it turns out that what entrepreneurs need when they start out is actually pretty unique. They're actually helped or hurt by their physical surroundings. Here's Hugh Courtney, the dean of Northeastern School of Business, on what new businesses need to take off.
Well, it really takes an entrepreneurial ecosystem overall. And by that, I mean a strong network that has all the complementary resources necessary to successfully birth new businesses. So, for instance, you know, an entrepreneur often needs access to a lot of other entrepreneurs. That's the logic behind, you know, incubators and venture accelerators in some ways, in that the entrepreneurial process, by its very nature, is very creative, and it tends to, you know, ideas evolve.
Well, that's interesting. He mentions accelerators and incubators, which we've talked about before.
Exactly. You know, Courtney says that one of the most important things government can do is actually create these startup spaces, which allow, say, okay, a startup lawyer to be in the same building with a startup software company and a startup graphic designer, along with dozens of other new businesses. And what you'll find happens, interestingly, is that the software people say, you know, hey, we really need a website that's going to attract people, and they turn to the graphic designer for help. And somebody somewhere along the line realizes, you know, we really need some patent help, or we need some tax help, and they may turn to the lawyer. And taxpayer money can actually play a role here in creating these kinds of entrepreneurship zones and figuring out, okay, to really heat up, these companies need proximity to each other. They need proximity to support services, and government, whether it's local or state or federal, can help there.
Well, have there been areas in the country or the world that have used government effectively to build businesses?
That's a really interesting question. And Hugh Courtney, I asked him that. He pointed to South Korea, which rose to be this great industrial power in large part because government was making a coordinated effort, putting money into not just education, but into those tools that small businesses need to thrive in the beginning of their lives. And another interesting case study that he pointed to on the role of government trying to help entrepreneurship, and here we're looking inside the U.S., comes from Pittsburgh. And it's a story of success. But if you listen closely, you'll hear that it ultimately turns into a cautionary tale about government.
There was great emphasis in, you know, local governments working with universities such as Carnegie Mellon in birthing a very exciting set of technology-based businesses coming out of the University of Pittsburgh, coming out of Carnegie Mellon, and commercializing that. My understanding, though, of then the unintended consequence of that is, so it really helps technology transfer and technology creation, but then a lot of those entrepreneurs relocated then to Silicon Valley over time, where the rest of the ecosystem was actually in place to support the growth of those new businesses.
So Pittsburgh gets the businesses off the ground, and then they go to California.
Yeah, so we come back here to this issue of an ecosystem. You need great schools. That's not enough. You need to incubate businesses and put them near one another, but that's not enough. You also have to have the funding that it takes, the venture capitalists that are needed to get those businesses off the ground. And so the government has to stick with companies, not just on their first or second year, but keep with them and provide mentors as they grow and they encounter new problems. And it's interesting, these sorts of spaces are actually popping up all over Boston, and they're really popular in Silicon Valley. And Hugh Courtney from Northeastern says it's not just a question of spending taxpayers' money, it's a question of spending it in a way that has lasting and really helpful ramifications for the community.
A fascinating topic. And what do you have coming up on Innovation Hub this week?
I'll be talking to Dr. Michael Rich from Harvard Medical School, who is on the forefront of how media impacts kids of all ages, whether it's video games or scary movies or seemingly innocuous children's shows.
People should have their own values. People, let's respect people's values by, you know, virtue of religion, culture, et cetera. But let's also look at the reproducible scientific evidence around how we are changed. And let people make their decisions based on their values with that information in hand. So that if we know that kids get desensitized to media or kids get afraid because they're watching violent media, we should know that and put that in the equation when we decide, just like we put the into the equation what we're feeding our child when we take them to a drive-in junk food place.
And Dr. Rich actually has some very interesting things to say about educational television as well and what research shows about its effect.
That's Innovation Hub this Saturday at 7 a.m. Thank you, Kara.
Thanks, Bob.
And today at noon on Boston Public Radio, Kara will delve more deeply into the topic of government help for startups and entrepreneurs. And then next week, we shift our focus to issues in our homes. Has your family's standard of living changed? Are we set up to care for aging parents? What about the high cost to access media? Are we creating a separate elite class of informed people? We'll tackle these issues next week in our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, all through Election Day, on WGBH Radio and online at WGBHnews.org.